that has come through like years of basically sitting at the shop with no business, thinking, what am I doing?
That is Alim of Patio Pizza, a solo operator in the UK who changed his business trajectory through one post on Instagram.
And that video was quite literally made because the day before that, I must have sold like 4 or 5 pizzas the whole night. And I was thinking, what am I doing?
We talk about Alim's backstory of being in the pizza business his entire life and later opening up a completely different concept from his father's shop right next door.
Because every day, you know, people walk into my dad's shop and see that there's another pizzeria next door and they're very confused.
If you're looking for social media tips,
essentially I'm just looking for those little moments that happen in life,
or mistakes to avoid when running a pizzeria.
So you can work super hard, but you have to work hard in the right places, because for 3 years I was working hard but it wasn't working.
Then this show is for you. This is your host and pizza homie Idriff, and you're listening to the What's Good Dough podcast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember to always ask, what's good dough? This podcast is brought to you by my favorite pizza cheese for Detroit-style pizza. And I'm talking about Baccio cheese. It's perfect for that aesthetically pleasing high crown Frico edge. Brett of Izzy's Pizza Bus is also a Baccio user. He says he loves it for its quality, price, and the fact that they have a rewards program. Gold Club Rewards members can receive cash back for every pound of cheese purchased. Get that cheese, Pizza Pal. Learn more at bacciocheese.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I have Alim from Patio Pizza in Kingston. Really excited about this one. I've seen you all over social media, and I just want to thank you for making the time today.
That's all good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I want to start off the conversation with working at your dad's pizzeria.
Sure. That's a good place to start.
Let's do it. Maybe talk to me about how long you were working there and what it was like.
Sure. So that's actually the beginning of everything for me. So my dad's pizza shop is 25 years old and I am 25 years old also. So I quite literally grew up from about 3-4 years old in his shop. Learning through osmosis. Well, I wasn't old enough to know what a business was at that point. I was just kind of happy to be around my family. So my dad works there, but so do a lot of my uncles. A lot of my cousins have passed through there, my brothers, you know. So it's very much like a family-orientated business.
And you passed through there.
I've passed through there, yeah. I'm still there. I'm just next door. So as much as I'm doing a separate thing now, I'm very much still involved. If they need a hand, I'll give them a hand, you know.
Did you work all the different positions, front of house, back of house?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's a family shop. So it's not well organized. It's very much every day you take as it comes. If it's busy, you make it work. If it's quiet, you sit down, have some tea, you know, chat amongst each other.
Did you have a favorite position while working in your father's shop?
The most prestigious position, which, you know, ends up being your favorite, was the pizza maker. That was the last job I was allowed to do. So I had that in quite high regard, you know. Once I started making pizzas for customers, then I was like, okay, I'm an expert at this, you know. Obviously, I was very wrong.
How so?
Well, it was just young naivety, you know. You think you get a bit of skill at something and you think you're the best and no one's better than you. Even now in my pizza journey, I think it's quite silly to think, you know, no one's better than me, because there always is, you know, there's always bigger fish, as they say. And as long as you keep learning, keep putting in the effort every day, then, you know, you'll get bigger and bigger. But no one likes a big-headed person, you know. So
no, they're kind of annoying. To fill the audience in a bit, and leading up to my next question, you literally hopped on an opportunity when a space opened up next to your father's pizzeria. And sort of along the lines of you being a pizza maker at your father's pizzeria, I want to point out that the pizza made over at Pizza Box and Patio Pizza are quite night and day.
Yeah, super different. So the way I describe it, because every day, you know, people walk into my dad's shop and see that there's another pizzeria next door and they're very confused. Happens every day. The way I describe it is my dad's style is more domino style, you know, cast iron pans, rotator ovens, conveyor ovens, whereas my style is more, well, he's value driven, you know, more food for less money, whereas I'm quality driven, so high quality food for a bit more money. I still try and make it affordable so everyone can try it, but just because it's a business, I can't match the same price as my dad's has because it's just higher quality ingredients that I use. So, and that comes at a cost.
How much is your father's pizza, one size, and maybe give me the equivalent of yours if it's possible?
My dad has a collection offer. So this offer runs day and night every day. It's $9.99 for an extra large pizza, which is 15 inches at his shop, with free toppings and a dip. I only serve one size, which is 12 inches large. And my cheapest large pizza is £10. So you can get a £10 margherita or pepperoni. That's the price comparison. So for him, it's a bigger pizza with more toppings, whereas for me, it's a smaller pizza with less toppings. You know, he feeds more people at a lower price, which is good. You know, that's
Yeah.
I like that.
I
I
grew up
try
on
to do
that.
that where I can, you know. So,
Having worked in both settings, where do you see the future of food moving towards? Do you see one business model being superior over the other? In the future, is there room for both? Where is the consumer shifting towards if you can see that far ahead?
I don't know. That's quite a loaded question. It's a good question. But for me to have an answer, I kind of need to think about that a bit. The first thing that comes to my head, and it's probably wrong, I don't think it's right, but the way that this industry is going, you know, with inflation, pricing out a lot of people out of profitability, customers also feeling the pinch. I mean, I don't know what it's like in America, but in England, people are finding it quite hard to survive, really. Money is not something that's in abundance here for most people. So, a lot of people are starting to cut back on their food spending where they can, you know, especially on takeaway spending and cooking more at home. So the only reason someone would want to exchange their, you know, their money, which, you know, a lot of people, like I said, don't have too much of, for something, for a service or a good, is if that good or service is, in my opinion, of quality, you know, something that there isn't much of, and they'd be happy to spend money on that because they're satisfied with, you know, consuming the good or receiving a service, whatever. That's the way I think it's going, where, you know, it's sad, it's really sad, but like the mom and pop shops, at least in England, a lot of them are closing down because it's just not profitable.
It's happening here too.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, inflation is a global problem, you know, so these margins are pretty small even before this inflation started to the point where it is now. So, you know, it's just kind of the final nail in the coffin for most people, unfortunately, without sounding too depressing. But yeah, it's a difficult thing, this hospitality industry. Pizza is quite difficult to make consistently good. But I think that's the key. You just have to try and make your product the best you can and keep learning, trying to make it better and better, while at the same time not increasing your costs to the point where, you know, it's completely unprofitable.
Well, I appreciate your valuable insight and unique insight. And the interesting thing is, having a pizzeria that's side by side, we get a real unique cohort of two pizzas, one being value driven, one being a little bit of higher quality. I've never tried the pizza, but it looks amazing. So maybe a
Thank
lot
you,
of bit of
yeah.
higher quality. And we'll see. Only time will tell. And of course, there are multiple factors that go into whether a business or not succeeds. It could end up playing out that both succeed. It could end up that the better business, quote unquote, could fail because of other reasons. And so only time will tell, right?
Yeah, exactly like you say. It's not necessarily quote unquote a better business that does better. You know, there's so many factors into running a business. It's kind of It's like the lottery, you know. You can have a really great product that no one will ever see, which is something that happened to me. Without sounding big-headed, I'm pretty proud of what I make, and obviously I keep trying to make it better every day, but I think it's gotten to a point and has been at a point for a little while where I'm pretty happy with serving it to my customers. But for a long time, up until recently, like around the same time you contacted me, actually, there wasn't a lot of awareness around what I was doing, which, you know, luckily suddenly has changed, which is a blessing.
We're going to take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. When we get back, Alim is going to tell us everything about his experience running a solo operation and creating some fire content. Stay tuned. The holiday season is upon us, and I don't know of a better gift than an Uni pizza oven. Right now, they have some amazing products, like the Uni Volt 12, which can get up to 950 degrees Fahrenheit indoors, all electric, baby. It's made some amazing pizzas in my household, and I truly recommend it for ease of use cooking and super hot temperatures that you can control from both top and bottom. Uni has all of the ovens that you could ever need to start your pizza business, so go ahead and check them out. The link is in the show notes. Thank you for supporting my show sponsors. Before we continue on with the episode, I want to give a special shout out to Cordo Olive Oil. Truly, 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 the difference between commodity olive oil and quality olive oil is night and day, and that's why the best pizza makers like John Arena, Chris Decker, and Laura Meyer use Cordo Olive Oil at their restaurant. DM me at What's Good Dough or email me idriff@whatsgooddough.com, and I will set you up with a free tasting if you are an operator. And I'm talking about brick and mortar, caterer, pop-up, anything like that. I'll connect you and get you a free tasting. Thank you for supporting my show sponsors. Let's fill in the audience a bit, because I don't think people understand that you captured lightning in a bottle. I don't know if you want to call it luck. I see your content and it's beautifully made. It looks well-intentioned, but also, thanks. You know, you had beautiful pizza prior to this. And so I'm sure that didn't hurt the, I want to say that I found your IG page right before that post went viral, super mega viral.
Yeah.
And would you be able to confirm that you had around 2,000 followers at the beginning of October, more or less?
Yeah.
Or more?
So I literally just hit 2,000. I remember seeing the two. And obviously I was quite elated at that. I was like, yay, you know, it's, you know, seeing the first digit of four digits change is a big deal, you know? So I was like, okay, great. But I remember I made a little mental note that I want that to be two digits and a letter, you know, I don't want it to be four digits. So, it's a really weird thing. And I'm not necessarily a very spiritual person or anything like that. I don't really believe in, it's really weird, but the things I've kind of been saying out loud, putting into the universe, it's weirdly happening. I think it's just like setting a goal and then really trying to get to that goal. So this meteoric rise, as you say, this, like, you know, very uncomfortably large amount of people that have suddenly seen my Instagram videos and stuff, that has come through like years of basically sitting at the shop with no business, you know, sitting there and thinking, what am I doing? You know what I mean? The first video I made, which went semi-viral, well, actually, no, the most viral video I have is episode one of Running a Pizzeria Solo. And that video was quite literally made because the day before that, I must have sold like four or five pizzas the whole night. And I was thinking, what am I doing? You know, this has to change. And for a long time, I was relying on other people to try and market my business. You know, like food influencers are a big thing now on Instagram or whatever. And I was relying on them to try and bring the audience towards me. It wasn't adding up. So I decided to make a little video, post it on my Instagram myself, and try and market myself as opposed to relying on someone else to do it for me. And I'm just really lucky. Like, a lot of it is luck, because with Instagram, social media, I don't know how it works. No one really knows how it works, the algorithm, you know, this mystical thing. But it just really took off that video. Like, it went crazy. And every time I would refresh my Instagram, I'd get 100 new followers. You know, it would just say 100, 100, and 100. It didn't go higher than that. And it was just mental. Yeah. You know, it's really great. I'm really, really blessed to be in this position all of a sudden. And I just hope I don't screw it up, basically.
I like your thinking of it that way, because it does happen. But let's not dwell into the dark side too much right now, because sure. We're in a happy place. And
yeah, I would love to. Yeah. This is like a therapy session right now. Yeah, we are in a happy place. It's all good.
No, I think you're doing great. And
thanks, mate. I like appreciate I said, that.
Yeah, I mean, from 2K to today, on the day of recording, you're at 26K.
Yeah.
Nearly over 10K, 10X followers. Does that mean 10X more business? Are you now going from 3 to 4 pies to 40 pies selling out?
So no, the numbers aren't, the Instagram numbers don't reflect necessarily the same level of business. Like I have found over the past 2 weeks, so bear in mind, all this Instagram malarkey started about a month ago. So the first 2 weeks, there was no change in sales at all. It was just normal. And the past 2 weeks, so this week and last week, I felt a small incremental change. Like when I'm doing the numbers at the end of the night, I can see it's getting a bit busier. You know, nothing crazy. Not something that I need to start thinking, oh, I'm going to open a second shop, hire 4 people, nothing like that. But yeah, there is a small change, and that's very welcome. You know, that's something I'm very happy to see, really.
What has been the best outcome from growing your Instagram account?
You know what it is? It feels like I'm building a little community, and that is really cool. It feels really cool. Like I get all these lovely, lovely messages from people all around the world saying that I've inspired them. Like that's just insane. That's so insane. Every day I wake up and there's, you know, a few more messages that I read and you know, talk to people that I never would have been able to speak to, you know, before this Instagram stuff started. I think that's probably like the best thing, really. I've somehow built a little community of like, you know, pizza enthusiasts, and it's really cool. And a lot of them are just curious about my methodology, my recipes, my processes. And I'm more than happy to share all of that, because in my opinion, I think this is quite a rare mindset in this industry. But I will tell anybody anything they want to know. I don't mind. Mm. The more good pizza in the world, the better, you know. That's my mindset.
So, why do you believe that?
Yeah. Because why not, really? I think everyone should have access to good food. And this is just like my unique situation growing up. I had access to pizza. So that's why I deeply have respect for. And that's the avenue that I kind of channel this ideology through. It's just through pizza. I don't know. I'm not like a chef, but I'm a pizza chef, you know? So that's how I can convey that kind of mindset. And you know, if somebody wants to use my dough recipe in Chile, for example, right? That's not going to hurt me. It's not going to put my business down if someone uses my dough recipe over there, you know? The world is massive. It's huge. Maybe if they wanted to open up next door to me, and then we'd have 3 pizzerias side by side, maybe it might hurt a bit. But if they open, you know, it doesn't matter to me, really. I'm just happy that they're happy.
I definitely love that approach to business, because it is, I think it adds on to your positivity that we were talking about earlier, about how you put things out into the universe. If you give and you get, and if you ask, you receive, right?
Right, yeah.
I want to take it back there. I know you said you took note of the 4 digits and you're like, I want to add a letter next to that. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are different letters that we could add next to that. But was there anything else that you were asking for specifically? And maybe When did you start that? Asking if you could recall.
This might sound very selfish, but when I saw my peers, you know, I'm friends with a lot of pizza owners, pizzeria owners, and they're all doing exceptionally well, right? Or at least it seems that way, you know what I mean? But I always felt a hint of jealousy because I wasn't doing very well. And even though I was proud of my product, I was trying hard every day, it wasn't being reflected in business. So eventually, after years of that feeling, you know, that feels pretty bad. It just kind of, I went through phases. I went through like pretty depressed to, well, long without sounding too, you know, emotional, but it was a lot of that. And then eventually it just kind of, that kind of pivotal moment that I explained earlier, where it was super, super quiet one night. And I just decided to do something about it as opposed to sit on it and wait for it to happen the next day, you know. And it wasn't something that came instantly. It was something that took a while, you know, took a while to get to, but I'm glad it happened, to be honest.
Some of the advice out there is just keep on trying different things, see what it works. Or the other piece of advice is like, keep doing the thing that you're doing until it hits.
Yeah, it's a medley of both, I think. You know, you need to have a lot of experience.
Yes.
Because without experience, unless you have an amazing, amazing tutor or mentor, you're not probably going to have the best product. I think in any food shop, you're going to need a good product to succeed, right? I don't think substandard food goes very far anymore because there's too many good things, good places open, you know?
So yeah, I mean, I looked at your photos prior to you blowing up, even prior to the food review guy showing up to your place.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if, you know, him coming over and all the other influencer stuff that you did kind of triggered the viral post, but leading up to those other posts of the food reviewers, it's like, this looks good.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
Do you think people just need to focus more on marketing themselves better? I don't know if you follow Keith Lee, the food reviewer in America.
I think I've seen him. Yeah, he's. I think I saw a video of his went super viral, and he reviewed his family spot, and it just blew up. Right? Yeah, I think I do know the guy.
And he talks so much about just restaurants have great products, but they're just unknown. They lack the marketing. Do you think it's that simple? If we can all figure out a marketing avenue that will work best for us, that it'll solve a number of problems?
Yeah. So I think in its simplest form, what he's saying is very true, right? That's the same problem I realized I had. I didn't have enough people knowing about what I was doing. But yeah, I think marketing is super important, right? It's super duper important because if, exactly like you said, if you have a great product and nobody knows about it, what's that going to do for you? You know, especially if it's a business, because bills get paid every month either way, whether you make a lot of money or you make no money, you know. So marketing definitely helps in that. And because we're in a, you know, social media run world nowadays, it definitely doesn't hurt to have people know or find out about what you're doing through social media.
Talk to me about your content creation process now that you're starting to pick up, now that you have a style even. What does that look like on a either day-to-day or week-to-week basis?
My content creation. God, that's such a weird sentence, isn't it? It feels like I'm a pizza influencer or something. Right. Basically, it's just me with my iPhone. I just prop my iPhone up against one of my gastros, you know, metal gastronorms. And I just try and get interesting angles. I've always liked film. And when I was a student, I studied media. I was a terrible student. I was making too much pizza, but I did have like a passion for it, for film. I never did anything with it though, but I guess me recording myself doing my day-to-day tasks is me in a way channeling that passion for media.
We can say now officially it didn't go to waste.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's funny joke. It was just dormant for like 5 years, and now I've managed to use it again. But yeah, so all I do is record myself, and now I get home around 10 p.m. and I open my laptop and I start looking through all the footage and just trying to edit it. I'm lucky enough to have a lot of my friends, they're musicians. So a lot of their music, they're happy to give me access to. So a lot of it it's all basically done in-house, right? Which is a thing I've only pretty much right now realized is quite important, is the less you rely on others, the quicker things can get done. And also, as long as it's high skilled work, you can output more, I think. Anyway, maybe that's terrible advice and it'll make you stress out, but that's what I've tried to do.
I think it's valid for some people. Yeah. I mean, there are people, solopreneurs out there that do really well for themselves, and they wouldn't be caught working with other folks, and they don't want to have a business where that they have to manage people, right?
It's less managing. It's when you're paying someone to edit a video, even if it's your friend or anything, you're suddenly on a different timeline. You're sharing a timeline, right? And it's very rare that those timelines kind of work well together. You know what I mean? So at least in my experience, when I have an idea, I get super excited and I just hyper focus on that idea until it's done. And I guess, you know, not everyone works like that. So that's why I've always found it difficult to work with other creatives and stuff like that. And I guess maybe that's why I've decided to run my pizza shop myself as well.
What are you looking for when you're searching through what, maybe just a day's worth of content where you're just recording yourself? I imagine you just leave the camera on and you're just kind of scrolling. Yeah.
It will be a couple of hours of content every day. And essentially I'm just looking for those little moments that happen in life, which are just nice to see. You know what I mean? And it's hard to describe. You just see it and you think, oh, that was a nice little moment. That's what I'm looking for. Now I just compile it into a minute of those moments and try and edit it to music that one of my friends made. And yeah, that's literally what I do. And then I post it in the morning. And this little formula I've had going seems to be working pretty well so far. So yeah, if anyone wants to do the same, go ahead. It's all good.
What's interesting is I just recently came up on a creator giving advice about music and how he actually picks his music first. And then he starts to kind of vibe with the music at home. Then he starts scripting his video and he's writing to the music so that he can capture the flow of the song. And so that when he is ready to record and deliver, you know, he listens to the song one more time before he starts reciting his words. Mm. And he's saying it to the music. And it was almost a light bulb moment, because we don't think of audio as importantly as we do the actual video. At least I didn't.
Super important.
Yeah. And you're using this, I don't know of a better word to describe it as music with a vibe, and it just sounds so good.
It's all coming from, most of my music's come from this one guy, or my friend of mine called Leo. He's like the most amazing musician. He studied at Abbey Road Studios, which is where the Beatles recorded all their songs.
Oh, cool.
And he has like a fucking PhD in like four instruments. He's insane, insane guy, super talented. And yeah, he just makes really cool music, quite a wide range. What I've been using is mostly this kind of like lo-fi, hip-hoppy kind of stuff, kind of jazzy, just smooth, right? Not offensive, not harsh. It just, it's nice to listen to. Yeah, I think it pairs really well with the videos that I make, because most of the time I am just kind of chilling, you know? I'll have a film on, just running through my daily tasks before I have to start interacting with customers and stuff. So if it's like reality pretty well, I think that's a big important thing. You don't want to force anything. You want it to seem or be as natural as it can be, because the internet is very good at sniffing out bullshit. So the less bullshit that you produce, the better, you know, I think. Oh,
that is such great advice. Amazing. Yeah. Do you have an intention for your videos? I see that, and maybe it's just the day that the ranch needs to get done, or the day that you need to go and pick up some stuff at the, you know, restaurant supply store. Do those just sort of dictate what the video is going to be, or are you more intentional about it? Like, oh, I need to make ranch on Tuesday, so I am going to film that.
No, not at all. I'm literally just running through my tasks. So if I'm doing something, I'll just prop up my camera and film myself doing it. I don't pre-plan the videos, really. I just film my day to day. The problem I'm facing now is I've kind of nearly filmed everything that I've done, that I do. So it's kind of feeling a bit samey. Like, I'm editing the videos and I'm like, this shot looks exactly the same as another shot I've seen in the past. And I'm like, that's a problem I have now, where I'm kind of running out of content to make, which is a bit scary. So I need to think about how to pivot out of that. But no, it's just natural, man. It's just like me doing the things I do anyway. It's just I'm recording myself now.
Yeah. Well, you make it sound so easy, Alim. And I think for the person who is listening to this, I hope you're inspiring them to just document, not create. And like, it's that easy. Just, and you're inspiring me a bit. You couldn't have explained it better. Like, just be freaking real and then find the moments that spark.
For sure. 100%. There's too much fakery, especially on social media. Everybody's fake, mostly. So I think that's part of the reason why people like my content, because it's not fake, you know? Maybe that's why it's kind of shining through all the shit, because it's just real, I guess, without sounding too cringy, but yeah.
I get it. What does your dad think about the social media success? I noticed that, you know, Pizza Box Kingston, or at least I couldn't find a very public page of, you know, for them. There's a website. It doesn't seem like social media is a focus. And please correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. Yeah. He seems happy, to be honest. He seems happy that that I'm actively trying to better the business, you know. Very wholesome stuff.
Have you convinced him to maybe get on camera and document the process?
Not really. I don't think he'd be against the idea, to be fair. But more than likely, it would be me making that video, because he doesn't really have access to anybody else to would be comfortable doing that, or maybe has time to do that, really. But yeah, I was thinking of making a video kind of showing the scenario, because I don't think I've done that yet, of like the setup, how two pizzerias can run side by side, you know.
Maybe that's your next content idea.
Maybe.
I want to take the time now maybe to transition a bit about like the details of running a solo pizzeria. Maybe you can talk to us about, you know, running a solo operation, and why you chose that business model.
Okay. So I chose it because I wasn't making much money. Can't afford to hire people.
It wasn't so much that you wanted to work.
Oh, definitely yourself. Not. Definitely not. Oh, 100% not. I mean, it has its moments where it's cool, but most of the time, man, it's running any food business, but you know, pizza shop, it's hard, man. It's difficult. It's a lot of manual labor, and there's a lot of stuff working against you sometimes. Like if it's a super hot day, you best believe your dough is gonna act up. And you know, if your dough acts up and you don't know how to deal with that, then your customers are gonna complain. You know, and it's like, there's a chain reaction to a lot of things, especially dough related. So taking all of those problems on your shoulders, you know. It can be super duper stressful. And there's been loads of moments over my 3.5 years of running this shop where I've wanted to just close the shop, literally just pack up and run away to Portugal. You know, it's happened loads of times, more times, you know, than I've got fingers on my hands, you know. So it's not for everyone. Let me just put it like that. It's not for everyone.
What kept you going?
The thing that kept me going was I felt it was too good of an opportunity to let slip through my fingers, you know. That was the motivating factor. I thought, it's not working because I'm not working hard enough, you know. And in a kind of weird way, I think it's right, because the second that I decided to spend some more time, especially on the marketing, that's where things have started reacting super positively. So you can work super hard, but you have to work hard in the right places. I think that's a good way to put it. Because for 3 years, I was working hard, but it wasn't working.
I love that, because I've been on this podcast for about 3 years now too.
Hmm.
And nice. Thank you. And I too am looking at the way I market my podcasts, get it out to different people. And, you know, I'm always looking at these things and seeing what I can tweak.
Sure.
I see that there is opportunity in podcasting, and I sort of just have to find the path there. And I think that's what makes it exciting, but that's what also makes it fucking hard. Is that my path is not necessarily charted. There are people who have done it. It's easy to go look at them and try to copy what they're doing, but it's not necessarily going to work for me.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, man. A lot of what you're saying, I've definitely, you know, experienced myself. So, I guess I don't know much about podcasting, to be fair. I don't listen to many podcasts or anything, but I think you have a good thing going, you know?
Well, thank you. And I think, you know, to make this less about me, what are some of the things that work well for you? And so that when people are listening, they can maybe get some inspiration for their pizzeria and outside of marketing, and specifically in running a solo pizza operation, because I imagine there are things that are lifesavers for you that maybe people didn't consider.
I guess it's organizing your day. That's a big thing that I've only recently started doing. So my day is split up into segments, right? So there's pre-service. So that is, I use that time, which is, I start service at 3 p.m., right? So before 3 p.m., I could do whatever I want. If I want to go get some breakfast, some lunch, spend some time with family, you know, that's all very important, because you don't want to just tunnel vision into a business. And inevitably, there'll be moments where the business is doing badly because it's business. You know, you're not going to be all sunshine and rainbows every day. It's not like that. But you have to spend time when you need it, doing things you enjoy outside of work. And for the days where I have things to do for work, like let's say going to the restaurant depot or, you know, wherever, picking up bits and bobs, I get that out before service starts, right? Well, it's the only time I can do that, to be fair. And then 3 o'clock, service starts, right? But 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock is kind of my dead period. You know, it's not very busy. Sometimes I don't get any orders between those times. So I use that time to make my dough for the next day, right? That takes about 2 hours from start to finish, like getting it balled and refrigerated. And that, just that change, because I used to make dough during service between 5 and 9, right? That was super duper stressful, because I'd be getting orders, sometimes I got slammed, was stressing out, and on top of that, I had to think about getting the dough right for the next day. My hairline's been pushed back like 5 inches just from that scenario, you know, over the years.
I'm laughing because I'm bald.
I'm getting there, man.
Embrace it. Love it.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know, it's not a bad look, you know? It is what it is.
No.
It just means we worked hard, you know? Yeah.
Sorry, keep going.
No, it's all good. So, yeah, it's just about, like, compartmentalizing your time. Not necessarily overworking yourself, but using your working hours to your strengths, if that makes sense. For some people, maybe working 5 to 9, you know, or 3 to 9 and being busy for a few hours, making dough in that time works for them. I don't know, maybe. Probably not. That sounds like hell, and I've been through that, but maybe for some people it is okay, and that's where they'll thrive. It's just about every person is different, right? Everyone's got a unique workflow. Everyone works differently with different scenarios. So there's no one-size-fits-all method, and it's not something a person can tell you. You have to find out yourself, and that's the hard part, man. That takes time.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier about just finding that journey. Like, you can grab inspiration from the people who have done it too, but mm-hmm. it's ultimately yours because 100%. There's so many factors at play.
Yeah, man, yeah.
Now, the three to five, that's 2 hours of service. Do the sales justify being open at that time? Like, I'm just curious, like, random thought, like, why don't you just close from 3 to 5 and purely dedicate your time to making dough?
The reason I started opening that time was when I was open from 5 to 9, I'd come into the shop at 3 anyway to make the dough. So I had this eureka moment where I was at the shop making dough. I thought, I'm here, everything's ready, the oven can be on, why don't I just like sell pizzas as well? And that's what I started doing. It was just kind of like a business related, you know, more time to sell pizzas is the way I thought of it. Even if I only sell one pizza, hey, that's one more pizza that I sold that I wouldn't have sold before 5 anyway. So it's
makes sense.
Yeah, it's just like, in a way, it's extra income, I guess, because I'm there anyway, you know, so why not open up?
What processes or systems are you still working out as a solo pizzeria operator, if any?
There's always something to work out. It will never stop, I think. It's just about being comfortable with that.
What's the one that's most pressing for you right now?
For me, I would love for more customers to come to the shop to pick up their food, because I do delivery, right? And delivery is a logistical nightmare. It's, especially with the pizza I'm making, I want it to be nice and crispy. And the delivery process, the time it takes between leaving a pizzeria and getting into the customer's lap is, you know, it can vary from 5 minutes to 30 minutes sometimes. And that time in the box, the pizza box, that pizza is changing. You know, it's steaming, the toppings are tightening up, or maybe, you know, high volume water concentrated topping like a mushroom is. I don't know. I don't like that period because it changes how I want the pizza to be. And I've tried adjusting my recipe to take that into account. And you know, there's been a lot of changes over the years of like my dough and the pizza in general. But I just like that. Just the types of flour, the salt content, the yeast content, the water content, of course, the temperatures for the oven, basically everything. You just got to tweak everything until you find something you're happy with. And obviously, while you're tweaking, you need to document every change so you know what change did what. But that's the learning process. If that sounds like a lot of work, it is. So you have to be ready for that.
Can you help shortcut the listeners here? Like, what is the secret to making pizza that's more delivery friendly? Excuse me.
Yeah, it's all good. Deliverable. Yeah.
Deliverable. Yeah, I was gonna say it that way, but I was like, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. That's a word, right? It's okay. Probably a word.
It is.
It's all the dough, man. For me, pizza is just, it's the dough, because everyone could buy the same ingredients, right? And in theory, right, everyone could buy the same flour, but it's what you do with that flour that changes the pizza completely.
So for a pizza that's more deliverable, is it higher hydration, longer fermentation, more salt, less salt?
So if for high hydration pizzas, usually, unless it's like a, you know, a Detroit style or something, some square pizzas, most of the time a high hydration pizza is Neapolitan, right? And Neapolitans, in my opinion, travel really badly, because I was literally talking about this earlier with one of my friends. We were talking about deliverability, actually, and what I realize is there's nothing worse than a cold Neapolitan pizza. It's just really sad. Fresh out of the oven, like in a restaurant, it's delicious. One of my favorite things. But when it's half an hour, you know, being delivered to you, 30 minutes in a bag and whatever, the texture of that pizza is so, in my opinion, just not appetizing. It's too chewy, it's cold. The cheese is basically not melted because it's Neapolitan. That's not what I look for. So what I want is like a firm base, you know, crispy. I want it to snap when you fold it. That's like that's one of my simple pleasures in life, hearing that sound. So that's quite difficult to do when you're doing delivery. For me, the way I found to do it is just to use like really high quality bread flour and use a blend of flours. So what I use right now is 00 flour as the main base of my dough recipe. It's around 90% of my flour blend, just a nice high quality 00, which is, you know, like a traditional Italian pizza flour. It's very fine. And then the other 10% of my flour, of my dough mix, or my flour blend, is a T110 flour, which is usually used in like French baguettes and stuff like that. Something that can get nice and crusty on the surface. It has a lot more germ in it, like a bran, so you can see those flakes in the dough. Even though it's just 10% of the flour blend, when you make that dough ball, you'll see that flour, you know. That's how that's my current dough recipe. I'm pretty happy with how it's turning out. It's just that specific recipe could work really horribly for someone in a particular climate, you know? So
right,
it all depends on dough is super variable, you know, super variable. It's a massive rabbit hole. You can go as far down as you want to go. But climate and humidity and all these factors account for a lot in the structural integrity of the pizza dough. So where I am specifically, you know, in England, the weather can be super cold, super rainy, and, you know, we've just been through summer and it's been quite warm. So you just have to adjust.
Part of the reason why I stopped asking people on the show about too many things about dough specifics is that it is highly variable. But even then, I do notice some patterns in terms of things like what you said about using a flour blend and one that has a little bit more of the goodies inside it that's not so refined. I think one other pizza maker has told me in the past they do I don't know if it's similar to Tipo 110, but they do a type 1 flour, which is less refined.
Yeah, it's more like a whole meal.
And they do it in their mix. And so it did hold up to delivery a bit better. And so I don't expect the people listening to completely follow what you said to the T, but again, just sort of guiding them and helping them a little bit with the research that you've already done so that we can help them get to the end product that they want.
Sure. Well, here's a big tip. If you're making dough and it's hot, if it's a hot climate you're in and you want to make pizza dough, use lots of ice. You don't want hot dough. Hot dough is terrible. It's sticky. It's the gluten's super weak, it's difficult to work with, don't be scared to use ice cubes in your mix, because that will bring the temperature of your dough down, making it very easy to work with, or easier than a sticky hot mess, you know? That sounds terrible. I'm never going to say that sentence again.
Great advice.
Yeah. So I hate hot dough. I don't use ice now because it's not that hot anymore. Like yesterday where I am, it hit zero. So it's getting pretty cold right now. So I don't use ice, but use ice if you need to use ice. If it's humid, actually, I don't know about humid. Humid's a bit of a weird one. Humid,
yeah,
you know, this is a bit of a weird one because moisture in the air, that affects the dough in a way that I'm not too familiar with, really. It's not too humid too often over here, so.
I'd imagine if it's humid, it's maybe dropping the hydration a bit, but also if it's hot and humid, definitely, you know, being careful of just the dough temperature in general is important.
That's one thing I overlooked for a while, which is dough temperature. I thought if I could just add more flour, because if I saw the dough was sticky, I thought, oh, I'll add more flour, it will become less sticky. Nah, that's not how it works. You just have to make sure the dough doesn't get hot, basically.
Yeah, good idea. Especially if you're mixing a higher hydration dough and it takes longer to incorporate, right? It'll be more prone to getting hot because you're mixing longer.
Oh, of course,
and it's just even messier.
So. Yeah, dough is all chemistry, you know, it's all chemistry. The pizza making is 50% chemistry, the dough, and 50% artistry, the actual art of pizza, you know, topping, stretching, all of that. So you need to be really almost like scientifically precise with your recipes for the dough. And then once you're happy with that, then you can start playing around with toppings and bake times and all of this other stuff.
Great. Well, Alim, thank you for the, you know, tips on how to make better pizza. And I want to be respectful of your time here. And I just want to ask two more questions, if that's okay with you.
Yeah. No worries. I'm having a good time, man. Ask away. It's all good.
Beautiful. Patio pizza. It seems like you're not a fan of delivery. And in an ideal world, people will just come and eat on the patio and have it fresh.
Yeah, 100%. In an ideal world, yeah.
Why did you name it patio pizza and why not just do that?
So patio pizza started 5 years ago when I was at university. So basically, I just left my hometown where, you know, my dad's pizzeria was, where I was raised and whatever. I went to university about an hour and a half away. You know, my first real experience of living alone, like living by myself without my family. I'm quite family orientated, so it had a big effect on me. And I found myself homesick quite a lot, even though it's not far. You know, my family went far, but it was the day-to-day things that, you know, I missed. So this homesick feeling, I wanted to combat by making pizza, because that's what I know, that's what I do. So I bought this little uni, right? I bought an uni. It was a gas uni, and I started making pizza in my patio. So surprise, surprise, my place is called Patio Pizza. And I didn't expect this, but all of my housemates saw what I was doing, you know, could smell the pizza, saw the pizzas I was making, whatever. And they started asking me to make them pizza. So I was like, oh yeah, of course. Like, you know, I'll make you pizza. Come sit down and make a pizza. And they started sharing the word, you know, telling other people, their friends, people at the pub or whatever. And I decided to make a little Instagram. And before I knew it, people were messaging my Instagram asking to buy pizza, you know, where was I located and stuff. And this was all done from my patio in my student accommodation. So yeah, it just kind of like snowballed. I started from just making it for myself, and then suddenly other people wanted to try what I was making, and yeah, it just kind of snowballs from there, really. And now And now I've got a shop and I've had it 3.5 years. It's pretty insane, to be honest.
And the shop has a patio, right?
A very small one. Very small one, yeah. It's fitting. You know, in the summer we get two tables out there.
Do you see a world where you just say, stop delivery, come enjoy it on the patio, even if it's only two tables at a time?
I would love that. I would love to work
But it's
towards
not
that.
good for business.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Like, I feel like I'm doing a disservice to the cut to my regular customers who order delivery. You know, a lot of them I've never met. I've never seen them. Don't know what they look like. So, you know, God forbid they're disabled, find it hard to move around. It would be kind of fucked up of me to like just remove the ability for them to order, especially if it's difficult for them to get the pizza otherwise. So that's kind of the part of me that's nagging, like you can't really stop delivery, even though it's a headache most of the time. It's got to be done. And obviously with delivery, you get a larger client reach, I guess you could say, in theory. But I think like now in the current state of the shop, I have customers that come to the shop that are nowhere near where I am. And that's pretty cool. That's a really nice feeling. But it kind of solidifies the idea that maybe I should stop delivery, but I don't think I will for a while. I think for now, the way the shop's running, the way things are, delivery is gonna be, it's gonna be a thing, you know? It's not gonna
I
stop.
love
Yeah.
it. Yeah, well, it seems like it's a good problem to have for now, and that people want to enjoy the food on their own terms. And I appreciate the thoughtful answer, like super being super considerate of the consumer.
Yeah,
And
man, for sure.
it may not be the way you want them to enjoy pizza, but at the end of the day, they're still enjoying your pizza, and that's a good that's a good sign.
100%. You know, pizza is super subjective. Good pizza, especially. And I've seen it. I see it firsthand. You know, people go to my dad's pizza shop. You know, and they've been going to there for years and years and years. And then they don't even want to try my pizza because they're okay. They're happy with what they get. You know, and that's cool, you know, good. You know, everyone's got their own favorite pizza. And that's why I kind of stopped searching for the perfect pizza because I realize it's fully subjective. You know, if you ask your elder family or their favorite pizza, they're not going to have the same answer as you most of the time, you know. And that's quite cool. I like the fact that means there's space for everyone, which is good.
That is a beautiful way to end. And I do always ask this one question of all my guests, and there's no right or wrong answer, but what's good dough?
What's good though? Not much, man. How are you? You're right.
Doing great, man. And knowing that you've been on the show and blessed us with your time, I appreciate you
No
so much,
worries, man.
Shalim.
Thanks for having me. It's been cool to talk to you.
Man, shout out to you, Alim. Thank you for joining me on the show. Keep on doing great things. To you, the listener, come on, let's get it. Reach out to Alim, let him know what's good dough at patio.pizza. It'll be linked in the show notes. Also, let your pizza pals know what's good dough. Just copy this link, Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening, text them, email them, or do us all one better. And you can share it on Instagram stories. That way, all of your pizza pals can see it. And if you do that, tag me so I can reshare it. If you want to reach out to me after the episode and let me know your thoughts, DM me idrif@whatsgooddough or email me idrif@whatsgooddough.com. Always looking to improve the show and hear your feedback. I appreciate you. I love you. Till next time. Peace.